Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I got a kick out of something Senator John Thune said yesterday. 60-year-old Senator John Thune. I think that's important. Got to know how old he is. Because look, some of the folks in the Senate could, quite frankly, they could have worked for a dollar an hour. But he tweeted out yesterday that he started working by bussing tables at the Star Family Restaurant for a dollar an hour. And he slowly moved up to cook the big leagues, he said, for a kid like me and to earn $6 an hour. He said businesses in small towns survive on narrow margins. Mandating a $15 an hour minimum wage would put many of them out of business. Now, here's the thing. For those who bothered to check, the last time the minimum wage was $1 an hour was 1956. So if you do some of the math, just kind of throwing this out there, not only was he not born, I would seriously doubt he was even imagined. But somehow he worked for a buck an hour minimum wage, and he was grateful. And I got to tell you, I'm so tired of these people, these rich guys saying, you know what, I did it, pulled myself up by sheer intestinal fortitude. God, just get out of the way already. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, if we're going to see a minimum wage increase, and I got to tell you, I sure hope at some point we do. I've asked Sarah Jane Glenn to come talk with us. She's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. She works with the Women's Initiative. Sarah Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks. I'm happy to be on.
So I'm looking at Senator Thune, who said, you know, he worked for a buck an hour, and good for him. He worked for a buck an hour. I got to tell you, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the either we should be arresting the person who was running the Star Restaurant, or he's full of it, because that, one, is against the law, if it's true, and two, I'm calling BS.
So he might have actually worked for a dollar an hour as a busboy if he was a tipped worker, because depending on which state he was in, there's a separate minimum wage for tipped workers. And currently, in 2021, it is still stuck at $2.13 an hour. So the idea is that you are supposed to be earning tips that will bring you up at least to the regular minimum wage. But we know that wage theft is rampant in the restaurant industry, and that's not actually what happens.
Right,
whole idea of a dollar minimum wage is ridiculous.
No, it's ridiculous. But I did go back and look to see, and I can't find when the tipped minimum wage began, because like you, immediately my mind went to, it's possible that he worked for a dollar minimum wage, but it's supposed to be brought up. So he didn't actually work for a dollar. And hey, here's the thing. You know, back when he was working for the minimum wage, the minimum wage in 19 was 67. Was a $1.60 an hour, which would be like $12.30 today, not $7.25. So let's at least compare the right things and be honest about what the minimum wage was and what it currently is.
I know that's an incredibly important point, that you can't really just compare straight dollar amounts over time because of inflation, right? So like, I don't know, my grandma used to be able to buy all kinds of things for a nickel. It doesn't actually matter right now. So whether he earned a dollar an hour or not back then, the minimum wage today is too low for what the costs are today. And that's what the conversation should be about.
Yeah, I mean, my great grandmother used to say that when I was a little girl, that was back then. And you can't do that anymore. In fact, in 1968, the minimum wage was $1.60 an hour. So again, it's one of these things where he's only 60 years old. I know he wasn't working for minimum wage back then. But, you know, here's the thing. All we keep hearing from folks who like Thune, who's a rich guy, is that, well, it's going to hurt small businesses. Doesn't it already hurt small businesses when you can't find workers who are going to work at that wage and you can't keep them because some of the times they're homeless, some of the times they got all these other problems? Doesn't it seem like we would want to have a stronger minimum wage so, one, you could keep your workforce, and two, you would have customers? I know that's a hard thing to understand, but people with more disposable income, they tend to spend more.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. There's two things that are really important for businesses. One is the stability of your workforce. You don't want to have a lot of turnover. turnover is really expensive for employers. And they tend to ignore that fact because they don't track it often and they don't actually see that, they don't calculate that return on investment. But it costs about 20% of a worker's salary to replace them. And if you're doing that over and over and over again because you pay really low wages and your workforce is constantly changing, you're losing money. And of course, if people in your community don't have money, they're not going to come to your small business. So your restaurant or your shop or, you know, whatever kind of small business that you're running, people aren't going to have any money to spend there if they don't have any wages in their bank account. So giving people more money actually does help stimulate the economy, especially when you're talking about folks at the lower end of the income spectrum, right? So if we're giving tax breaks to super wealthy people, they don't go and spend that money in their local economy, right? They save that or do whatever fancy things rich people do. When you give money to folks who are at the lower end of the earning spectrum, when you raise the minimum wage, those people immediately go out and spend that money. And so that does have a very strong stimulus effect, which is what we need right now, given what's happening, you know, across the economy, across the country because of the pandemic.
But Sarah Jane, they're all pimply-faced teenagers. No actual people work for minimum wage, just kids like him for his first job. And he was grateful for the dollar.
This is one of my favorite things that people say, because one, we know that kids today are much less likely to work at all. You know, I got a job right when I was 16 and I made the minimum wage and I worked at McDonald's. If you go through a drive-thru right now, you do not see the 16-year-old version of me. You see adults, because our economy is bad and people need jobs and they take whatever they can find, right? So it's not a bunch of high school kids. It's adults. It's often people with college experience. It's often people who are parents, right? Millions, 8 million mothers would see a raise if we raised the minimum wage.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Sarah Jane, if we raise the minimum wage, all of those old people now who need jobs, who didn't do the right thing, again, this is my conservative friends, you know, laying this out to me, they didn't do the right thing, they're not working a job a teenager should do, and they're going to price themselves out of the market because we're going to automate the whole damn thing.
There's also not a lot of evidence that that's true. I mean, there is some automation that's happening. This is, you know, a trend that we've been seeing for a long time. But the idea that robots are coming and stealing all of our jobs, people have been making that claim for years, and we have not actually seen that come to fruition. So I'm not sure why paying somebody to do the work a little bit more would mean that you'd instead decide to invest, you know, thousands, if not millions of dollars in automation services that don't currently exist right now. Like, the two things are completely separate issues.
Well, I always throw back that, you know, here's the thing. That's probably coming. We know it's coming. We know that that is down the road. So your argument is it's coming. We know it's coming. So we should be able to cheat people as much as we can until that happens. I mean, that's the insane part of this to me, is that we're literally saying, yes, we're going to cheat people until we eventually automate them out of existence, which is insane to me.
Well, and the other part that doesn't make sense is we actually have data on what happens when you raise the minimum wage, because while the federal government has not done it in years, states have. And it turns out, you know, we hear the same arguments every time there's a ballot initiative, every time a state wants to raise the minimum wage. We hear from business lobbyists, the sky is going to fall, every small business is going to close, you know, the streets are going to run red with blood, like, who knows what's going to happen, it's going to be a giant nightmare. Then the minimum wage raise goes into effect, people have more money, businesses stay open, things are fine, it works out okay in the end. Workers do better. Like, that is one piece of evidence that we definitely see, but it doesn't kill jobs, it doesn't close businesses, it doesn't do all of these things that we always hear it's going to. And it's really weird that these same arguments get recycled over and over and over again when we know they don't actually come true. But that just shows, you know, the power of the voices that are continuing to make these arguments.
Yeah, my other sky is falling frame that somebody threw at me at one time that I just love, is that you won't be able to get extra cheese on your Whopper. Sorry, you're not going to be able to afford it. It's not going to happen. But here's the thing, and this is where I look at the increase in the minimum wage. It should be done as a matter of course. We should have tied it to index it to inflation decades ago. We shouldn't be having these continual fights. We shouldn't have to wait 12 years to have an increase. But here we are in this moment. So it begs me to question, you know, who is it that we're attacking? And again, this, it keeps coming back to the jobs that women do are the ones that seem to be undervalued. And, you know, You guys have a study out right now talking about the fact that if you did raise the minimum wage, it would help single mothers like my mother was, to help put food on the table so that we wouldn't have to have gone and gotten food stamps or asked for heating assistance or rent assistance or any of that. The work that she could have done could have supported us, and we wouldn't have had to suffer the indignities that I remember as a child and I want for no one. So for me, raising the minimum wage is a no-brainer because we're going to help families enjoy that reward for work that I think is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know that the majority of people who would be impacted, positively impacted by raising the minimum wage are women. Like I said, 8 million of them are mothers. And among those women, those mothers who would see a raise, almost 2/3 are breadwinners for their families. So, and often that's because they're single mothers who are raising children on their own. So the idea that this is just like a bunch of kids who are earning pocket money, you know, and saving up to go to soccer camp or whatever. I mean, you may be able to find those anecdotes, but the truth is we're talking about millions of women who are supporting their families on poverty wages. And that we should be embarrassed as a society that we're allowing this to happen. There is no good argument that I have heard about why we can't afford in such a wealthy nation to treat our workforces better. And I think people should remember that it's the workers who create value, right? And people should be rewarded for their hard work. And one of the ways that we can do that is by giving them fair wages that pay them a wage that they can actually live off of and raise their children off of. Now, having a family shouldn't be a privilege for the elite.
I absolutely agree with you. Now, you point out in your piece that the federal poverty level is at, for 2021, for a family of two, is $17,420. The fact that we have a minimum wage that is well below, over $2,400 below the poverty line, tells me there's something wrong. I mean, if you're going to set a poverty line, shouldn't you say that work gets you above it? So even if the minimum wage were $17,421, you could say it's above the poverty line. But to have something so far underneath tells me it really is time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no one should have to live in poverty. We have enough that this shouldn't even be a conversation that we have to have. And, you know, if you have conversations with folks who live in Europe, for example, like they look at America and shake their heads and can't understand how it's possible that we have millions of children living in poverty when their parents work full time. And to be very clear, like you shouldn't have to work full time or overtime to be above the poverty line. Like no one should have to live in poverty. The social safety net is really important. I strongly support, you know, SNAP, food stamps, TANF, welfare, whatever you want to call the programs. Like cash transfers to people are important. Having a social safety net is important, but we shouldn't be subsidizing companies paying low wages by pushing those workers onto these public programs. There is plenty of wealth to go around. Like I said, there's just no excuse for it. There's no reason why we have to live this way.
No, and look, I'm someone who's, I've said before, and you've said you're in support of a strong safety net. To a point, I am as well, but I'll tell you, I would be happy to do away with all of the handout programs and just have jobs programs. Everybody works. Everyone makes a reasonable living that they can support themselves, and they don't have to beg or ask for handouts or fill out forms or stand in line or go online and fill out something on a website. Your work sustains you. That to me is the right place, but we're not going to get there because we have people, mostly Republicans, who are saying, no, we can't raise the $7.25 minimum wage, and no, we can't have the social safety net. So this is one of those moments where you go, something's got to be done because no one's giving an off-ramp on how we get people out of poverty.
Well, I mean, the best way to get people out of poverty is to make sure that they have money. If you give people money, they can raise themselves above the poverty line, right? Like it's actually not that complicated. Obviously, the mechanisms of how you get that money to people is not necessarily always the easy thing, but that's it's surprising to me. Sometimes people throw their hands up and are like, well, we have these high poverty rates. What can we do? Well, if you give poor people money, then they won't be poor anymore. You know, you can actually make it pretty simple if you want to.
No, and this is where I say you give them jobs. And because I believe there's dignity, there's self-confidence, there's a whole bunch of things that come with knowing that you made your own way. Before we finish up, I want to get to, because it's looking like it may not be in the budget reconciliation. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We still don't know. Waiting on the parliamentarian to make the official ruling, which I view as kind of a cop-out. If it doesn't, I'm curious, how do you see this playing out the next several days?
Well, I mean, I have to admit, like, I feel like everybody in America has suddenly learned about the parliamentarian and all of these rules around the reconciliation process. Whether it's included or not, it's going to be a tough fight, right? So it's a different fight if we don't have to get 60 votes and go through regular order. But I think even if it is included in the budget, you know, there are folks, more moderate Dems, and certainly plenty of Republicans who've said they're not in favor of it. So this is going to be a hard slog no matter what. But I would like to believe that there is some light at the end of this tunnel, because it's far past time. And I think there are a lot of people who understand that we cannot, especially in this moment when so many people are hurting, this is actually when you do have to go big, right? A recession is not the time to scale back. This is the time when you need to make an investment in the workforce. And I really just hope with every bone in my body that Congress understands that and that the Senate does the right thing.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, here's the thing. Florida voted for a $15 an hour minimum wage. You know, Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton came out with a paltry attempt at a minimum wage. And the state that Tom Cotton is from already has a minimum wage a buck higher than where he wants us to be in 4 years. It's just... I wish there was some sanity. I wish that the Republican Party actually valued work and valued workers. It's crazy. But the other side of this, for me, then comes to this place of, you know, I want Joe Biden and the Democrats to push the PRO Act. I want workers to be able to join and form unions at rates that we haven't seen since my grandparents were roaming the earth. Because then we make this an outdated argument, because it isn't about the minimum. It's about how do I get what I'm actually worth and what my wealth actually creates by sitting down and negotiating the wealth that my labor creates.
Absolutely. I mean, having higher wages, having a higher minimum wage is one piece, but that by itself is not sufficient. We need other protections, and we need to raise the floor on benefits for workers, because right now, too many people don't have access to any protections at work. They don't have access to any forms of paid leave. They don't have access to flexibility. They don't have access to any of the other things that you need. So even if you say this job pays $50 an hour, but the structure of the work is so inhumane that no one can hold that job down, it doesn't matter, right? Like, wages are one piece of the puzzle, but there's a whole lot more that needs to happen so that we can actually have a humane workforce.
There you go. It's about wages, hours, conditions. That's all what it always comes back to. But Sarah Jane, I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. Hope you'll check out Sarah Jane's article, Raising the Minimum Wage is Key to Supporting the Breadwinning Mothers Who Drive the Economy. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. Sarah Jane Glenn, I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much.
Good stuff. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.